I'm going to start out this morning. I got permission to tell these stories, so it's okay. I'm not telling all my kids. I ask. Kenan, she was about 3. Shona's mother got us some swimming lessons, private lessons in Canadian. So Shona's teaching summer school, so I get to take her. And we ride over. Ken's excited. She likes to get in the water. We go to motels. She likes all this. She's going to learn how to swim. We get there, introduce her. She introduces us, said, I do the American Red Cross version of the how to teach you how to swim. I said, okay. And we start watching videos. I said, okay. So we set Kenan down. She's 3 or 4, and she's watching videos. Now, she's always been a deep thinker, even when she was little. I told Shona, I said, we're never going to understand her, so let's just quit trying. She's smarter than us. So we go along, and they put the video on. It's about drowning in the dangers of swimming and water. You can drown in a bucket. You can drown in all these areas. And I'm thinking to myself, ooh, this might not be good. But I didn't say anything. It's her way to teach. So they get through the videos, and I go outside and go away because I probably butt in. I can't go to sporting events without opening my mouth. And so I just back off because I want to be in charge, I guess. So I go outside, and I hear them talking. Like, let's get in the water. She's going, no. Let's get in the water. No. And so I walk in, and I said, you need some help with her? I'll throw her in. And then she goes, no. So I walk back out. I wait about an hour long. She's got her feet on the ledge, kicking her feet a little while longer. And then at the end of the day, there's a ledge at the Canadian pool about that wide. When next time I walked in, she's laying on that ledge, doing her arms. I'm swimming. She got in water that deep. She wouldn't get in the water. She had no fear of the water until she watched the drowning videos. So she developed a fear then by what she saw. Now, I tell one on Langston, I've got to be fair. Shona's dad always gets us things. He'll probably have a car by the time he's 13 because he just can't wait. So he got 4-wheelers for us. So I used to be like the duck leading them around. You know, mama duck, make them follow me so I can control speed and where they went because I didn't trust them yet. After a while at this same place, we'd go. I said, well, I'm going to let them try to branch out and do their own thing a little. So about 2 minutes in, I realized my mistake. Langston come around. He jumped off of something about that tall. And the four-wheeler starts flipping. I just see a tire come up, and I can't see anything else. I get over there, and he's standing up dazed. And said, you all right? He said, my arm hurts. I said, well, did it roll over on you? He said, I don't know. I had my eyes shut. He developed fear as he was flying off. So one developed from listening and seeing, and one developed it from experiences. And this, for a little bit this morning, did I go the wrong? There we go. We're going to talk about how does fear work in our lives. You know, psychologists tell us when we're born with two fears. And I don't know which babies told them that, but that's what they feel like. We're born with two fears, fear of noise and fear of falling. We have these two fears that will help aid in survival. The other fears are developed over time from experiences in life, just like what I explained. Some we read about and hear about. Some we actually experience. In a psychology class of over 500 students, they ask them, list all your fears and anxieties. Out of 500 students, 7,000 fears and anxieties were listed. 7,000. You know, I did some studying that according to the National Mental Health Institute, there's 40 million people with anxiety disorders in the United States, it's 15 to 56. So fears and anxieties are around us all the time. So we're going to spend a little time and see what the Bible says about fear in our lives and how to deal with it. We define fear, the Merriam-Webster definition of fear, an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by expectation or awareness of danger. An instance of fear or a state marked by fear, concern about what may happen or worry. And the third one was awe. And I defined awe, and it's a mixed feeling of fear, respect, and wonder. We don't need to confuse fear with caution because we need to use caution in our lives. Just like Langston, he learned, let's not jump off of hills. I have caution. He's not scared of the four-wheeler, just like Kenan. She learned the water is okay, but we need to know what it can do to us. We need to use caution in our lives, but we don't need to live a life of fear of our surroundings. We read in the Bible, we are to fear God. We read in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. We also read in Matthew 10 and verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This is very plain. There's not much explanation. We need to fear the one that can destroy our soul and body in hell. We don't need to fear man. We need to understand that we're to follow the plan of salvation that he has put forth for us to do and do his will in this life and keep the faith. Fear of consequences that will help us make the right choices. The consequence of going to hell will help us make better decisions in our lives. That fear. Over time, the fear can become more of an awe and a feeling of a mixed fear, respect, and wonder. We read in 1 John 4:18 about fear and love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made of perfect love. This leads to discussion about how can we fear God when he expels all fear. You know, while I think of this, I think the analogy of the relationship between parents and children. We teach children their consequences for action, and they provide consequences when needed. If we say no, don't do this, we expect that, and if they do that, we give them a consequence. And eventually that over time becomes more of, they know the fear of the consequence, but it becomes more of respect. Love and respect is taken over, and you don't want to disappoint that person. You don't want to disappoint the parents, so they try to do what the parents wish. My dad always put it, he might be mad for me saying this, but he always put it, I'm going to whip you till you're old enough to whip me, and then you'll respect me. By the time you'll respect me, that's how he put it. So we need to have a fear of consequences, but we need to understand that it's for our own good. We can look at Genesis 3:10, an example of fear because of doing something wrong. And he said, I heard the voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. This is a story from Adam and Eve. They ate the fruit from the forbidden tree. And when Adam heard his voice, he was afraid and hid. I've had this reaction before when I was little. If my parents ever came in during the day and I was sitting on the couch reading something, I'd probably tore something up. And they knew. I would hide, or I'd try to do something different and try to hide what I'd done. Because of fear of what they would do. Fear of others' responses may cause us to bury and hide what we've done wrong. You know, fear, if we have sin in our life, it's not just physical hide. We can try to hide sins in our life, if we have, out of fear of what people's going to think of us. And instead of dealing with it, confessing, repenting, and asking forgiveness, instead of dealing with it at the time and trying to deal with it, we may bury it. And if you bury it and don't deal with it, it's going to keep coming back. It's kind of like when I'd mow the churchyard at Dozier. They had gopher mounds. We'd roll over them. That'll take care of them. Well, next time I mowed, there would be two more. Knock those gopher mounds down, there'd be three more the next time. They're just going to show me. You know, if we hide things, it's like the gopher mound. It's going to keep coming back up. So we need to not let fear keep us from dealing with things in our lives and dealing with sin or problems that we're having in our lives. Fear of what others would think. We need not to be afraid to confront things in our life we know is not pleasing to God. We need to avoid the fear that causes the fright and anxiety and fears that can arise from the world. Reading Psalms 91:5, thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. We do not need to be afraid of things of this world we cannot control. This does not mean not to be cautious. It's like the Langston and Kennan. They learned that even though they can't get hurt on those things, they can still enjoy them. We need to be cautious, but not fearful. Worry, Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus was speaking here and telling them that they did not need to worry and God will provide. Worry will not change the outcome. We need to have faith and not worry about the things that are not in our control of the world. We read of the fear of failure in Matthew 25:25. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Now this was the story of the talents. One servant had received 5 talents, one 2 talents, and this servant had received 1. The one with the 5 and 2 went out and made and doubled their talents, and the one was scared and buried it. We cannot be like the unprofitable servant and be afraid of consequences and not try to grow as Christians and serve God. Fear can sometimes paralyze us and keep us from doing his work. I've had a cold, so I'm going to need some water. I'm getting dry. I'm going to tell you about being afraid to do something because they're going to fail. I bird hunt some, and I had a dog, and it died, and Shona's dad got me another dog. So I know some good dogs, so I went and got them. They're English setters, and I'm used to German short hairs, and they're as hard-headed as I am. You thump them on the head, and they listen. They don't listen unless you thump them on the head. So we went and got these dogs, and I was excited, and I was going to go out and train them. I didn't read anything about how to train them now. I was just going to go out and try to find instructions. I knew what I was doing. So I go out, and I'm trying to train him to commands to come and his name and to woe and just talk to him, just try to get him to obey and follow commands. He wouldn't do it. So like my German shorter, I went and pulled his ear. That dog yelped and ran. And he wouldn't come to me for 6 months. After about a week of this, I read in the book about how to train an English setter, and you train them with positive reinforcement, not negative. So because they want to please you so much. So that dog wanting to please me, I could yell, come, and he'd just stand there and look at you. Wouldn't do. He couldn't use his talents. He's scared of what I would think. We don't need to be scared like that and not use our talents to serve the Lord and help grow and spread the word. We want to use our talent in serving God so we will not hear that wicked and slothful servant. We need to do his will and work and use our talents. We will now read about Jesus' response to disciples in a boat when they were afraid. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And they came down, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water, were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose, rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. You know, we're going to have things in our life that happen in our life that can cause us to be afraid, just like the disciples. They thought the boat was sure to sink and they would perish when Jesus awoke and he calmed the wind and the sea. And he asked them, where's your faith? If you were in that position on a boat, you thought it was going to sink and Jesus was there and he calmed the winds, do you think you'd be all in awe and you'd know the power and that you would fear God? I think you would. I think of a time, and you might can put yourself in a spot. I remember one time I was plowing a cotton field. I saw a storm coming from the north. I was trying to get over it because the wind blows and sand, and the cotton's about that tall. I was on an open tractor, and I waited a little too long, and I barely got to the pickup, and it hit. I've never seen anything like it since. I couldn't see from here to there. I laid in the seat. I said, I thought this is the end. This is it. I was about a 7th grader, and I said, this is it. And I thought about trying to drive to my brother, but I didn't know where he was, or my grand. I didn't know where they were because you couldn't see. So I laid in that pickup, and it seemed like an hour. It was probably about 5 minutes, and it cleared off. I understood then the power God has, because, I mean, at any time, I mean, I thought it was the end. And I was very thankful when I could see something other than just blackness and dark. So just imagine these disciples in the boat, how they felt when he calmed the seas and the wind. We need to have the type of fear in our lives that does not cause distress to, and come between the relationship with us and God. We need to have faith in God. Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith Noah being warned of God, being warned of God of things not yet, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by that, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I've read that many times. I still can't get it right. So I apologize that I didn't read it right. But here, Noah, he had faith in God and built an ark as commanded, even though there had never been a flood and he hadn't seen one. You think he was ridiculed when he was doing this? What do you think would have been the result if he had let that ridicule stop him from building the ark? He would have perished with everyone else. And we need to understand, this and remember this and how do we react when we're ridiculed for doing something right or standing up for the right thing? How do we react in life? Sometimes it's hard. I know you learned that in school at a young age. Doing right's not necessarily the popular thing to do. But we need to think of these things and we need to always stand up for what is right and have a strong faith. We need to always have faith and be strong and trust in God's word. We need the type of fear in us that will build holiness, working out our salvation and teaching others. We're going to read a fear that leads to holiness, 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of all of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We need to cleanse ourselves of the world and repent of our sins. We need to use the fear of God to help us grow in a way that's pleasing to Him and grow in faith and love. Philippians 2 and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to know the consequences of not obeying God's commands and always keep a good relationship with God and be a good and faithful servant in the world. We need fear that motivates us to teach the lost. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to him, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. Knowing that therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Reading 2 Timothy 1 and 7, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. We don't need to be afraid to teach the word because the power of the Lord's behind us. We need to tell the story of Jesus so that others may know the path to eternal life. And we need to help spread the word and help each other stay on the pathway to heaven and serving God and doing His will. We read in Romans 14 and 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. One day everyone's going to understand the meaning of the fear of God. Every knee shall bow. There will not be any unbelievers at this time. Every knee shall bow. Everybody will understand the fear of God. You know, I was a principal, I've coached principal now and superintendent, but as a principal, one of the things that I disliked most was when May came around and there were some students close to not graduating. That was the worst conversation you could have. Well, not the worst. That was one of the worst. There's a couple worse than that. Conversation you could have with someone. And come about January, I'd check grades and they were close and I'd have conversation with that student. We'd go through everything and I'd tell them what they had to do, what they need to do. 3 weeks if they weren't doing it, I'd call them back in. At 6 weeks, I got parents involved and we had meetings. And I never will forget this one time. I'd known the family for a long time. I was sitting there and we got down to about a week before and I said, well, you're not going to graduate. So we need to make a plan for how we're going to do this in the summer. Mom's crying. I'm about to cry because that's just not something you want to tell somebody. And he's going, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, we've gone through all this. You haven't done what it's going to take. You're not going to graduate, but we can't have a plan for you. Well, what do you mean? What can I do? I said, you know, I've been asking you to do things all along. And instantly, I went from upset and about to cry to upset and mad. So fast, I about passed out. Because we'd been telling them and telling them this is going to happen. And then when it was too late, just one more chance. You know, in the time when it says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow. At that time, it's too late. We need to let fear in our lives build the holiness, work out our salvation, live right, and fear God and live for Him and have faith in God and build love and trust. Because like this young man, it was too late. And if we wait till that time, it's going to be too late. And there's going to be no unbelievers, and there's going to be fear and trembling at that time. So we don't want to wait till it's too late. I was talking to Sean before. He gives me a pep talk every time. And I'm going to end with this. I started studying this toward the end of my mother's life. Because she didn't know what was coming. And I pray I live as good a life as she did for what I know. But every time, if you went to see her, and many of you did, and I appreciate it, she wanted prayers. She wanted comfort. She wanted to know. So I started putting this together. And the Sunday she died, I was supposed to talk about this. And I never will forget that morning. We was there, Dad and I, and Dad sat there. Dad, you didn't know, he didn't say much. We just sat there, and he got up and went over to the bed. And Mom always wanted us to pray for her. And he grabbed her hand, said a prayer, thanked her. And by the time he said, it won't be long now. In 10 seconds, she took her last breath. I believe, like Sean said, that was faith. Her fear then was replaced with faith that she's going to have a home in heaven and have that chance. We don't need to wait till it's too late. We don't need to live in life in fear of things that happen to us in the world. We need to stay together. We need to fear God, and we need to help one another reach eternal life.